Hey, good morning, Holland Zealand. This is Kerry Cooley, and Jack is gone for a week of vacation. He's traveling up north, UP, and he's out of radio contact. So, hey, I have a market recap here. We have a great show coming up. It's called Update on the Affordable Health Care Act. We have a special guest with us from the insurance group. That's Stacy Campeis. So stay tuned for that and be ready with your questions to call in at 395-1450. Market recap. We set some new market highs this past week. And you look at the market, look at the sectors of the market, look at where things are happening. And let's look at year-to-date. Year-to-date, the market, the best returning sector of the market happens to be utilities. Utilities would include gas, oil, that's natural gas, oil. It would also include such things as your electric, your just anything doing with utilities that if you use electricity at home, pay your gas bill to heat or cool your home. All those things is a sector where things are really doing well. What's following that utilities for the year to date is energy. So the two go hand in hand. You have energy, which now is compromising more of your transportation, pipelines, things like that that are going to transfer the natural gas to where it needs to be, as an example. And then after that is information technology. So computers, software companies out there, you have your Googles, your Facebooks, things like that. And I'm not recommending any of those stocks. I'm just saying these as examples. And when we look at large, medium, small, what's been happening here over the first year to date? Year to date, large companies that are value in nature are up over 7%. The one that's leading is mid value, up over 9% year to date. And if you even go back for the last year, that is the area that's still leading to is mid value. And over the last 20 years, that mid cap area has been a very good area, leading all sectors, all categories of the market. And now, international has been kind of the one that's been kind of up and down and sideways a little bit. What we're looking at here is year to date, we have emerging markets up over 6.4, small foreign up 5, large foreign up 4.9. So we're starting to see some momentum in some of the foreign markets, and there's still quite a bit to go there that we feel. Bond market has been a little bit mixed lately. Bond market has been across the board. Some is up, some is down. But let's look at the year-to-date numbers. Year-to-date, your low-quality short to long-term bonds are getting anywhere from 2 to 12% return year-to-date. And I would take that any day. Those are great returns. Your high-quality bonds even have returned good returns of 0.5% to up over 4%. So that's just a brief recap of the market. We also set a market a new record high this past week. And it's just, people are saying, when's the next bear market going to come? Nobody knows. Nobody can predict that with 100% accuracy. So you just need to have a good diversified group of investments. Learn to rebalance those on a regular basis. Check out the different categories and make sure that you're not too heavily weighted in any one area. And talking about stocks in the market, the S&P 500, which is 500 stocks, during calendar year 2013, there's a stock in there that ranked number 3 as performance, up over 237%. Year to date for this year, 2014, that same stock fell to number 3 from the bottom at number 497. So just some fun, interesting, contrasting things. Other things that are out there in the market, 2 out of 3, 65% of all individual tax returns filed in 2011 reported less than $50,000 in adjusted gross income. That's a big number. Outstanding student loans. Wow, get a load of this. There are $1.1 trillion of student loans that are out there compared to outstanding credit card debt of $857 billion. So student loans, that's $1.1 trillion, and credit card is at $857 billion. So there's been a big shift there. Student loans continue to rise and by quite a bit. So something that needs to be done out there, and I'm sure our educators, our institutions out there are looking at ways to, you know, keep this cost under wraps and just more manageable. Lenders, how about this? Home that were in foreclosure for repossessed nationwide for the first 995 days, or I'm sorry, first 4 months of this year is 119,000 homes, or 995 per day. And that's a 50% drop compared to the same time, first 4 months of 2012. And let's just kind of continue on here. More, how about gut feeling here? More than half of 1,000 Americans, at least age 25, that were surveyed earlier this year have never, and that's keyword, has never attempted to calculate how much they will need to accumulate for their retirement. So that just goes to show you, and here's where Jack and I would just be on our soapbox saying, you need to get out there. You need to have a plan. You need to look at what you potentially will need in the future. The average net worth of the Americans here increased by 10.8% over the last 12 months, ending in March 31, so that over those last 12 months. The number of employed Americans peaked at 138 million. On January 31st of 08, it fell to 8.7 million or to 129 million on 2/28 of 2010, but has bounced back to 138 million on May 31st of this year. So again, people are saying the job market's looking good. I think it is, but at the strong pace that they're saying it is, no, because there's a lot of people that have fallen off, have not applied for unemployment, don't get unemployment anymore, they don't count. There's people that are underemployed. So there's a lot of things out there that aren't included in those numbers, and it's hard to measure. How about last week we had the chance to have our first Triple Crown winner since 1978, and California Chrome didn't quite do it. But interesting, a little tidbit here talking about sports. And this week they're not talking about baseball. Oh, Jack would be bummed here. We're talking about California Chrome. Do you know, out of the last 8 of 11 Triple Crown winners were born in Kentucky, but none were ever born in California, and that's the home of California Chrome. So they time for reform. Here's one little last tidbit here. From 1984 through 2008, the Social Security payroll taxes paid by Americans exceeded the benefit payments made by Social Security. So there was more money coming in than going out. However, in 2009, benefits paid have exceeded taxes collected, including a $51 billion shortfall in 2013. Those are just some interesting numbers by the facts. We're going to be coming back with our guest here, Stacy Kampheis from the Insurance Group. We're going to be talking about the Affordable Health Care Act. If you want to call in with your questions, the number is going to be 395-1450. And listeners, you're listening to WHTC Money Matters. We'll be right back. Hey, welcome back, listeners. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters. This is Kerry Cooley, and Jack has taken the week off and is with his lovely bride going the Upper Peninsula route over to Minneapolis and down through Wisconsin and just enjoying a week. And my wife, as I was talking to Stacy here, is gone with my oldest son, Christian, down to Jamaica on a mission trip with let's see, there's a total of 38 going on this mission trip, so it's going to be pretty awesome. So, yeah. But we have Stacy Kampheis here with us. She's part of, well, I'm going to let her introduce who you're part of, the insurance group, okay. and what you guys do. So, Stacy, give us a little overcap of your business, what you do, how long you've been doing it.
Okay. I'm Stacy Campice. I'm from the insurance group. This is my 27th year in insurance, and I don't know how that's possible since clearly I'm very young.
Well, and
radio's good for that.
it is. It is very good for that. Now, question is, what did you, I always loved the story. You went to school for what?
I went to school for theater.
Okay.
I had a Fulbright theater scholarship, so I sell insurance. I think that makes complete sense. I don't know where the confusion is.
How do you not get this? I don't
know. I know.
I see the disconnect.
I know. So we just moved our office. We're located right on the corner of 31 and 24th, right next to Bob Evans now.
Mm-hmm.
Much easier to find our building. It was a little tough in the past.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a beautifully decorated building. I wish I could take credit for it, but our landlord, Heather, did it, and it's gorgeous in there.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And you can, I mean, literally, what, 100 feet away is Bob Evans.
You can buy biscuits and gravy.
I love their biscuits. So
I know. So we specialize in Medicare, Medicare Advantage, Part D. We also have become forced, probably would be a good word, but and we're specialists in the national health care / Obamacare / affordable health care / whatever care you want to call it, all of the above. So we were lucky enough to enroll 800 people in insurance. A lot of them didn't have insurance before, so that's the good news. The ironic news to it all is I think that people assumed that they would be able to get insurance whenever they wanted to throughout the year. And we have found that the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services, who runs the whole marketplace, that's not true.
Okay.
They are not letting people in. Unless you have a special enrollment period, which we can help you determine, they're saying, nope, you didn't sign up. Too bad, so sad. You didn't pay your bill? No insurance for you.
For
till January 1.
Till January 1. And that's when the next enrollment period. So let's talk about that enrollment period. Is that going to be the same time every year, or is that the only time people can sign up? Is if I don't sign up so bad, like you said?
Yep. It's going to be tough. I thought they would be much more flexible than they're being. The annual enrollment, or the open enrollment, actually is going to be from, are you ready for this? November 15 to January 15, or December 15 for a January 1 effective date. So you have 4 weeks. You have 4 weeks for a redistribution letter, which qualifies you for tax credits and cost reduction. You have to get that in. If you haven't enrolled, you have 4 weeks to enroll. You can still enroll up until February 15, but then each day it puts your, or each time after the 15th, it pushes you off a month before you're effective.
Okay. So you
it's going to be fun.
Yeah. So are you guys going to be sleeping at the office during that time?
Sleeping? What's that? 24 hours a day.
Wow. So let's go back to a little bit of the beginning of the Affordable Health Care Act, or some people said the Obamacare.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of controversy. There was a lot of changes that happened. Are you still seeing changes and tweaking to this program? As an insurance person, what we had in the past and what we have now, what are some of the big differences?
I would say that the biggest difference that we've experienced is that small groups under a 20, they no longer, a lot of them are pulling out of offering group health insurance. And they're saying, and for a lot of good reasons, it's definitely a challenge, but it's a challenge both to the employers and to the employees. It's unfortunate that they're not offered benefits, but it's also unfortunate the type of fees and taxes that are being assessed upon the small companies. And so possibly working out other alternatives to helping them pay for their own insurance. So that's the biggest thing we've seen. And it's gone actually quite smooth and quite well. That would be something that qualifies you for special enrollment. If your group health dropped effective September 1, it's special enrollment, you can get insurance.
Okay. All right.
The other thing that we've seen is I think we've seen a lot of people that have held back and waited. Unless they had a pre-existing condition and needed insurance, they kind of waited. They don't want to invest the money in it. Who can blame them? Uh-huh. I'd rather buy a big screen TV than in health insurance, but if by chance you fall on your bike and you cut your head open, your big screen TV is not going to help you.
You can't sell it in quick pay.
You can't sell it. And have your neighbor put stitches in.
Yeah. I've seen that done before, too.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, one of the big things they're hoping to happen with the Affordable Health Care Act was to get more of the younger generation to enroll to support the older generation. Mm-hmm. Has that happened from what I've read? No, but what have you seen or out there?
Absolutely not. It's really unfortunate. And again, it goes back to if they had group health insurance, then they probably did. But it's not something that people see. The younger you are, the more invincible you are, obviously. And so you feel like, why invest in something like that when there are other things to invest in? And I appreciate that their thoughts. So I challenge them to enroll because it will help. But in the same breath, I understand where they're coming from, because you really don't expect to end up in the hospital.
No,
you
don't. Mm-hmm. I remember being that age too. You're you're invincible. My kids think they're invincible. Mm-hmm. You know, they ride the quad and four wheeler and
I did yard work yesterday. My back hurts so bad. I keep thinking it's just weeds and flowers. Hey, how can they win?
Well, Memorial Day weekend, I did 25 yards of bark and. Glad I had my two boys helping me, put it that way. So, you know, what are you seeing out there right now with the Affordable Health Care Act? What's kind of the buzz in the news? What things are happening? Are things kind of coming together and it's been, I guess, accepted, and we just need to kind of, we've taken the big drink from the fire hose and there's nothing we can do, you know, type of thing.
There is nothing we can do.
Yeah.
I think that it has ended up being better for most. It's still been, they call it the Affordable Care Act, and I'm not calling it that because I'm not sure that I think that that was the best choice in titles for it. If you don't qualify for tax credits, which is completely based on your taxable income, and you don't qualify for cost reductions, which would bring down your deductible and, excuse me, and that sort of thing, then it isn't cost effective and it's expensive.
Mm-hmm. Well, unless, like, I know that in our office, we're fortunate enough, you know, we're under 20 employees.
Mm-hmm.
We're a small business, a business that we don't offer health care, but we look at all our employees that, you know, my wife is a part-time school teacher. We get it through there. Very good coverage. We still have to pay for half that.
Mm-hmm.
Most teachers are even having to ante up another 10% on top of that. So really, like, Kim and I are paying 60%. Jax, his wife teaches other staff. They all have it through their spouse's employer. So that's been a benefit for us.
Mm-hmm.
But now imagine if their spouses didn't have it. You know,
right.
How do we help those people out? They have to go out and try and get it themselves.
They do.
Now, as employer under 20 employees, mm-hmm. how am I paying for that affordable health care? Am I penalized in any way?
You're not penalized if you're a group under 20 or actually under 50. You are penalized if you're a group over 100. You have to supply insurance. The penalties are going to be dispersed in a whole bunch of different ways. But if you don't have insurance and it comes time to get your tax returns, you're going to notice, because somebody's going to keep some of your money. And this year it's $95 a person. So if you have two or three people in your family, but specifically next year, that's going to increase. And you're basically driving down the street throwing money out the window. So you need to get insurance. There's no question. And I'm not saying that because I'm an insurance agent. I'm saying it because I'm a taxpayer and because it's here and it's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
They've tweaked some of the plans. They're a little bit better, a little bit less money out of pocket, throwing in some doctor visits before the deductible, things like that. So there's good news.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think part of this too is now that a lot of the buzz in the media has kind of calmed down
a little bit,
I think, you know, and things are starting to roll. We're trying to get a feel for this. Let's come back after break, talk more about the Affordable Health Care Act. Hey, welcome back, listeners. Thanks for staying tuned and staying with us for more of WHTC Money Matters. We have Stacy Kampheis with us from the Insurance Group. Stacy, we talked about where you're located, but we didn't talk about how they can reach out and get a hold of you. How can listeners get a hold of you to ask questions?
A couple of different ways. The first way is you can go on our website, which is www.the-insurance-group.com, which is also our email addresses. So you can email me at Stacy, S-T-A-C-Y, at the-insurance-group.com. I could make a jingle out of that. Get you guys all singing.
You should.
It'd be great.
You should.
I know. That's one way. You can call our office at 392-3498. You can stop by our office, which is right next to Biscuits and Gravy Heaven, Bob Evans.
That's right. So,
I've been saying it a lot the last couple of months. So one person couldn't really find our office because we're on 31, but we're right next to Bob Evans. So she didn't realize there was a street behind Bob Evans that you would get to us by. So she went into Bob Evans' parking lot and then just drove through the grass. It was easier. I don't recommend that. Maybe go through the street and come into our parking lot. That might be a better option. But you're combining insurance, which is complicated and confusing, and computers, which is complicating and confusing, and you're putting those two together. We are certified licensed. I remember before where people would look down on insurance agents like, oh, you're just trying to sell me something. Now we're like rock stars. Everybody wants us. They're like, please help me understand it. People do not charge for it. So you come in and they give you consultation. They help you out with it. There's networks you have to be aware of, both in Medicare Advantage and also in the national health care plans. So does your doctor participate? Because if they don't, you can't get it paid for. That's not good. So you want to find that out before you buy the plan.
Now, you know, talking about doctors participating or not, are some doctors opting out not participating?
They can't not participate, but they can limit the percentage that they participate. And they wouldn't necessarily be opting out of Affordable Health Care Act. They would be opting out of accepting new patients.
Okay. I gotcha. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the big questions that always comes up, we talked about the enrollment period. How does a person enroll? Can they do it themselves or are they better off going through you?
I would say that 80% of the issues that we've had are people that did it on their own. Only because it is, you're navigating computers and you're navigating benefits and you're navigating insurance terms that you don't deal with every day. It'd be kind of like, I always use this example, but kind of like me fixing my own car. Why would I do that? Yeah, there's just no reason.
You'd be riding your bike then, right?
Exactly. I'd probably break that too.
So the benefit of using you is to help you through the enrollment stages. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with such a short window to enroll, I mean, how can you get so many people through? I mean,
a lot of what we do is we meet with them throughout the summer to prepare them for it so they're ready for it. Last year, what we found is there were quite a few agencies out there that didn't get certified, and so they weren't doing it. So we had a bunch of newer people that came our way and said, nobody else is doing it. You're the only one we've heard of. There are some of us out there that are doing it. So no fears. You just got to look around.
Okay. And don't be afraid to ask questions.
Oh, definitely ask questions.
You know, that's one of the big things about this whole Affordable Health Care Act is understanding it. Mm-hmm. And that's where you as an agency and your people in the agency, you have required education, don't you, to help?
Yeah.
I mean, or else you couldn't be doing this. Okay.
Right.
So that means with this education, you're helping educate your customers.
Mm-hmm.
What's one of the biggest things that you help educate them on?
I would say that the biggest thing is going to be the networks and understanding what the plan is and how to use it. If you have purchased a plan and you're not using it the correct way, not only are you not getting enough bang for your buck, there are going to be services that aren't going to be covered. There could have been a way to get those services covered, and it could be something pretty simple. A lot of people are frustrated with having to go through their primary care physician for everything, but let's face it, the buck has to stop somewhere. And if you're seeing a cardiologist and a dermatologist, that hand may not know what the other hand is doing, but if everything goes back to a primary care physician, somebody knows what's happening, and they're going to be able to guide you correctly. You don't go see an orthopedic surgeon if you have arthritis. You go see an orthopedic surgeon if you need to have surgery or physical therapy. So your primary care physician can guide you and help you figure out where you need to go for the right services. And getting it paid for is pretty important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Have you seen an increase in healthcare costs, or have they stayed pretty much the same and people are still kind of feeling this out?
I think the thing that we've noticed, not necessarily cost-wise, those have been pretty consistent, but what we've noticed is that you as a consumer, which you are now, when you go into your doctor's office, be prepared on the tests that you're going to have done, and are they covered by your insurance? Ask before you go. If it's a test that's not covered by your insurance, you're the one that gets to decide if you should have it done or not. So you sign a form before you go in that says everything is going to, that you'll pay for it if your insurance doesn't pay for it. Know what is going to be done.
Know what you're
you.
Signing.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
And maybe you don't want that test because you don't feel that it's worth paying for. I'm not recommending that. I am not a doctor. I do not play one on TV. But know what you're going in prior to going in instead of when you're sitting there on the bench.
That's good advice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I know that, you know, with Kim, my wife, going through breast cancer a number of years ago, the one thing that we learned, you have to be your own advocate.
You
have to ask lots of questions. Mm-hmm. And always have somebody with you because that person may think of a question that you're not. And it's just, it's good.
It
just,
is.
You know, check and balance is to go through.
And they hear things differently.
Mm-hmm.
So when you leave and you both talk about it, and what did you hear them say and what did I hear them say and that sort of thing. But you're the project manager for your own health and your spouse's and your children's or your parents or whoever you're helping.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, talk about cost. Yeah. I was sharing with you during break here that my oldest went in for emergency to have his appendix removed. I mean, he went in after school one day, and so that's around 2:30, and by 7 o'clock that night, he had his appendix out. And just that emergency room visit, anesthesia, the doctor, the hospital, he had to stay one night overnight because it was late. Usually it's outpatient mm-hmm. surgery. And I thought, oh, my gosh, when I had it done, I stayed 5 days in the hospital, you know. And, you know, total bills for all that, mm-hmm. what I've seen so far, were around $15,000. Just for 2:30 in the afternoon going in, the emergency, all the way through surgery, one night stay.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
It's so expensive.
It
worth every penny.
Mm-hmm.
But still very expensive.
Oh, yeah.
So if he had been 21 instead of 15 on his own and didn't have insurance, would you leave your appendix inside?
Yeah.
You can't
do that.
Here's
an option that you have. Sign this form. Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about that. Let's say a person doesn't have and goes in with that emergency. Mm-hmm. They can't deny you.
They can't deny you, but you'll pay for it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How will you pay for it?
That's a great question.
Okay.
Because you'll pay for it.
Yeah.
In the past, you could, if you qualified for Medicaid, which is financial assistance, mm-hmm. that would be one way of doing it. And with the Medicaid expansion, that certainly opened that arena up and helped. But if you are working and you have a substantial income or a medium-sized income, you will be paying with their financial office and figuring out how to pay per month.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they'll figure out plan. They'll get their money.
They will.
Yeah.
They will.
Even if it's through collections.
Because somebody else has to have the appendix out the next time around. And so if we give out free appendix taking out, none of us will have an appendix.
Hey, you know, when I had mine out, it was a bonus when they had mine out. They wouldn't actually, and this was back when I was 4 years old. Back then, you didn't have to get everything pre-approved. They went in to remove an obstruction in my bowel. And they thought, hey, we're in here. We'll take your appendix, too. So I got a 2-for-1 deal.
Oh.
So I thought, well, but they can't. There's absolutely no way they can do that.
Oh, not now.
But, yeah, that was interesting. Is this something that a person can enroll by themselves, and would you recommend mm-hmm. doing it?
They can enroll by themselves by going online to mm-hmm. www.gov. Go there.
Go.
Which one is it? Marketplace, right? Gosh, for a minute I couldn't see it because it's already on my computer. But again, there's no reason to do it because it doesn't cost anything to have somebody else do it
okay.
with you. So you want the expertise helping you. You can do it via email. You don't have to sit down next to somebody and talk with somebody. You can do it via email. You can do it on the website. You can do it over the phone, that sort of thing.
Okay, mm-hmm. That's good to know. Well, we're going to take a short break. Listeners, we're going to be right back with more Stacey Kamphuis from the Insurance Group talking about the Affordable Health Care Act. Hey, welcome back, listeners. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters. This is Kerry Cooley. Jack's on a family vacation, enjoying some time. And we're here with Stacey Kamphuis. You know, Stacey, I would take you over Jack any day.
I don't blame you.
You know what? And he's so far north, he can't listen, so.
Someone's going to tell him that.
Yeah. Oh, listeners, hey, the lines are open, 395. If you have questions for Stacey, we're talking about the Affordable Health Care Act, and as you mentioned, you know, affordable was not probably the right word to use for this. It's, you know, healthcare for everyone is really the goal of this.
Right.
And has that been accomplished?
I don't think it's ever going to be accomplished because I don't think that we as a society are very open to people forcing us to do anything. And so we definitely have had the people that sat across from us and said, I don't care what you sell me, just don't sell me any of that Obamacare stuff. Well, it's not Obamacare.
It's
healthcare.
Yep.
And it whether no matter what your political affiliations are, it's irrelevant because it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're supposed to see the best in everything. And so the best of everything is that there are people that couldn't afford insurance before that can now.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great thing.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that had pre-existing conditions and couldn't get coverage before, and they can now. And their stuff is covered from day one. Those are really important things. Preventative health is covered with no copay. So every person, there's really no reason not to go see a doctor once a year. Preventative is the key to everything. They can't tell what's going on inside you if they don't run tests to find these things
mm-hmm.
out. So
yeah.
There's been a lot of great benefits that have gone with it.
Good, good. How do people pay for this? I mean, how is it paid for?
That's a great question because that's problem with it. That's something we had a lot of issues with because everything was done in such a short span of time and because everybody had to pay for it in such a new, odd, different, or confusing way. We had a lot of people that their billing was they struggled with. You called the insurance companies and they were having a hard time not only getting to your call but helping you with your call because they got thrown a lot of people in a really short amount of time. I'm not defending them because I waited on the phone for hours trying to talk to somebody. So the thing is that you had to pay your bill by a certain amount. They gave a little bit of flexibility if you missed your payment, but not much since then. So we've had people that have been terminated because they didn't make their payment.
Okay.
We also had people that where before, if they had it through their small group employer would contribute part of it and they'd contribute something out of their paycheck. Well, now that they're paying for it on their own, it might not be any more than they would have contributed out of their paycheck, but they don't want to pay for it. So they said, I don't want to send that money in. I'm not going to send that money in. So they kept it. That doesn't get you insurance.
Okay. You're not on insurance then. Okay.
No.
So the whole bill paying process sounds a little, I guess, challenging.
It is.
Okay.
It is.
And
yeah.
But if, let's say I was enrolled in it, is it something where you set up and they say I have to pay for part of that? It's automatic deduct out of my checking account every month.
That's the smoothest way to do it.
Okay.
That's what I would probably suggest. But it's the people that didn't have an account or want a direct bill or don't want it taken out of their account, that sort of thing. Those were the issues. Or just the initial payment
mm-hmm.
was kind of a nightmare for some people.
Initial payment, was that more than the first?
No, they would enroll. Then they would get the invoice after they were accepted.
Okay.
Then they'd either not get the invoice or not pay it in time or the bill would get lost somewhere, that sort of thing. So they didn't make that first payment. Pretty soon now it's their 2-month payment. And then by the third month, they would have been terminated. So
okay. So there is some grace in there, but if
a little bit of grace.
Okay. well, you know, with all of this happening, let's say a person didn't get enrolled. How do they prepare for the next enrollment period? What should they be doing now to get enrolled? Or if they are enrolled, you also need to re-enroll, don't you?
You do.
Okay.
You do. If you qualified for a tax credit, which is a lower reduced premium, or cost reductions, which are lower or reduced deductibles and out-of-pocket max. If you qualified for those, you'll have to get a redetermination letter, and you'll have to reapply, basically, for those credits. Should be a simple process, but...
There's always a but in there.
Don't count on that.
Yeah.
So you may be able to do it on your own, but I'm not sure because they haven't even released the forms that you'll have to fill out to say what those are and to figure out your tax at the end of the year, whether or not you're going to get any money back.
So this redetermination letter, is this something that – who do you get this from, or is this something you have to fill out and then get a letter back saying, yes, you're approved, or no, you're not?
You're going to go online. Everything's online.
Okay.
So it's all about being online. So you'll pull down the form from the account that your agent helped you set up. So you'll pull that form down, you'll fill it in, and it'll say your income hasn't changed any. You get the same sort of benefits. If your income went up or down or that sort of thing, they'll fluctuate that way. I think it's going to be something that we'll be able to do outside of that four-week time. You can prepare by knowing who your doctors are and your drugs, sitting down with somebody who's certified now to get a gist of what you want to do. So when the time comes, it's a simple email. Yeah, I want to do this one. Poof, you're enrolled.
Okay.
So we're hoping.
Yeah.
Going to bring a lot of magic wands with us.
Wow. Sounds, I don't envy to be you during the enrollment period. It just sounds
bring
so.
Bring me coffee.
Yeah. It sounds so busy. Bring the cot, bring the sleeping bag.
And,
oh, man. You know, what are some other things that you're finding out there that maybe wasn't in the news, maybe wasn't. People were educated on that. People should be educated on about this Healthcare Act right now. Something that you have said, oh, you know, people should really know about this. Anything pop into mind as?
I think that knowing that your doctors participate was huge because people went in and they picked the plan that costs the least amount of money, but it may not have participated with their primary care physician.
Okay.
We also had a couple primary care physicians that were participating and then pulled out and decided not to participate in it. That was a tough pill to swallow. That was a pretty frustrating experience because write it out for the rest of the year like everybody else is, because it's the person that chose the plan thinking you could still be their primary care physician and then finding out you can't. That's not something that sits well with people. So that was tough.
So what does that person do? That they have to find a different primary care physician that is part of the network.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Or not go to the doctor for the year, or try to get Marketplace to allow them to have an exception, which those are pretty tough to get. Or, I mean, there's a couple of different options, but none of them are exactly what you wanted them to be.
Yeah.
So.
And dealing with government stuff and trying to get exceptions is a challenge.
It's such a challenge. If you're lucky enough to find someone to actually speak to.
Okay. Oh, boy. The fun part of calling in and waiting, huh?
Right. But that's our job, so that's what we do.
Oh, man. You know, how has this affected middle-class families?
I think upper middle class, it's hit the hardest for sure, because upper middle class isn't qualifying for any help whatsoever. And so those are the ones where their premiums are not only higher, but their premiums are actually, they may have lost small group coverage and their premiums are higher and it's their responsibility now. That one's been the toughest market. Middle class to lower middle class qualifies for help. So that's definitely a great benefit. I used to call people that were not eligible for Medicare yet, but retiring earlier, we used to call it purgatory because they couldn't get insurance because of pre-existing and it cost too much.
Yep.
That class right there has really benefited.
Okay.
Really benefited a lot. The premiums they get help with their cost reduction, that sort of thing. So at least they're not stuck in a position that they were before.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Now where's this, you know, how has this affected small business, and is their enrollment period different than individuals?
Their enrollment period's different because their renewals are at different times throughout the year and they can decide not to offer coverage. Small businesses have been hit hard, really hard.
Yeah. Okay.
It's expensive.
Yeah. How about, you know, I look at situations like Kim and I shared with you about being covered under. So really, our situation really hasn't changed.
Right.
There's been no change. Mm-hmm. So if you're with a large employer, a Herman Miller, those employees probably haven't really experienced any upset to their, I guess, coverage, right?
Large group. Anybody over 100, it's much smoother for them. Now, their companies have absorbed more money. So you see your premiums go up because of taxes and fees, because you're spreading the love. So everybody gets the extra tax and fee to help pay for everybody else.
Okay.
So we're all paying for this. There's no question we're all paying for it. But when I go back and I think of my past and experience and I think of the people that come up with any sort of pre-existing conditions and they couldn't get coverage anywhere, it was devastating to look at them and say, I'm sorry, you can have this coverage, but for the insurer of last resorts for the state, they could have done that. But that gives them 6 months with that not being covered. That's a tough thing to tell somebody.
That is tough. And I'm sure that's hard for you as an agent because there's really nothing you could have done because you have to follow the guidelines. I think one of the biggest takeaways that our listeners should, you know, today would be, you know, make sure that if you're enrolled in the plan that you get, you know, prepared now for enrollment for that really 4-week period of time and, and get enrolled. Go in and do it. Know what it is. The other takeaway I hear is know that your primary care provider is in the network. Anything else that you'd add to that?
Don't be afraid to ask for help. Everybody says you can do it on your own, but you can't.
Okay.
It's and just too complicated.
Before we wrap up here, how can people reach you, Stacy?
They can call us at 392-3498. They can come visit us in our big, beautiful office because we have coffee and chocolate all the time.
And next door, Bob Evans.
Bob Evans,
biscuits
exactly.
Biscuits and gravy.
They can go online to www.the-insurance-group.com. Or email me at Stacy, S-T-A-C-Y, at the-insurance-group.com.
And I want to say that every time we call you guys, you get answers. You're very helpful. So thank you. Thank you for being on our show this morning. Have a great weekend, everyone. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters.